In this chapter, in 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter is describing the judgment that is soon coming upon those who have taught false doctrine, those who have preached lies, those who have deceived people. Now, you know, every time we open our mouth, we are teaching. Did you ever think about that? Every time you speak in a certain way, you are teaching. You are imparting information. We are either helping another or we're hindering them. Every time we open our mouth, we will either build them up or tear them down. We will either lead them into the truth and thus bring them closer to God, or when we open our mouth, we may lead people away from truth and therefore away from God. Jesus said, "By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." It's a very important matter to be careful about what we say, because what we say affects others. And you notice the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily or secretly shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Here God is describing people that deny the Lord who bought them. They deny Him by ignoring Him. They deny Him by not acknowledging Him. They deny Him by being an atheist or an agnostic. They deny Him so that they can rule their own life without submitting to His authority. What is the reason for that notion to deny God? You know, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Why do people deny the existence of a glorious Creator when all of creation proves that He must exist? Why do people believe in evolution, for example? Why would people rather believe that a non-intelligent source could be the reason for all that we have on this earth and in this universe? Why would people want to believe that a Big Bang produced all that we have, and out of swampy waters, creatures were formed that eventually crawled up on land and developed lungs and then eventually stood upright and became humans? Why do people want to believe that when it's actually unscientific? When it has never been discovered that one creature evolves into another creature, why will people determine, "I'm going to believe that anyway"? Well, I'll tell you why. Sinful man does not want to be held accountable to God. Fallen man wants a way to leave God out of the origin of life so that he doesn't have to acknowledge God's authority and glorify Him. You see, evolution is so readily accepted because it gives man the luxury of keeping the concept of God out of his life, out of his conscience, and then he can live any way he wants. Like the Bible says, Jesus said, "Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." You see, if there is a God, if there is a Creator, then there are some consequences. There are some consequences that sinful man does not want to acknowledge. For example, if there is a God, then that means I am known by my Creator. It also means I am inferior to my superior Creator. It also means, if there is a God, that I am responsible to the Creator, that I will be judged or held accountable by the Creator, that I should live for the glory and purpose and will of the Creator. if there is a God, then I am not the master of my own life, and I cannot live any way I want to live. But you see, there it is. That's the reason why we live in a world and in a society that wants to deny the Lord, because they want to live without Him telling us what to do. We want to call the shots. We want to do it our way. In Romans chapter 1, God makes it very clear that creation proves the existence of the Creator. It shows us His sovereign power, His majesty, His glory. But men hold the truth in unrighteousness. That means they hold it down, they suppress it. And the reason they do is because they don't want a God telling them what to do or how to live. The real reason for evolution is because people want to hold on to their unrighteousness. And the result of that evolution, we see it now in our world today. If you want to know the results of evolutionistic thinking, just look around at society. Because if there is no God, then we can just live any way we want. Who's to say I have to do it this way or that way, right? And so they will question all authority. Who's to say? The result is empty lives and blind eyes, pride and delusion, idolatry, immorality. Because think about it. If there's no God, there are no absolutes. There are no moral standards. There are no boundaries. There is no shame or embarrassment for sin. And if there's no God, there is no fear of a future judgment. And then people can have the luxury to live any way they want to live. I'll tell you why this got started. The mystery of iniquity was already at work in the days of the Apostle Paul. When he wrote, the mystery of iniquity is already at work, only he who now hinders will continue to hinder until he is taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, the son of perdition. I believe that what we see happening today, where we have a lawless society, it's paving the way for the rise of the Antichrist. What we see happening today, where there is a denial of God's existence, we see when we deny God's existence, then man can make his own rules up for life. And we will be approaching a lawless society to get ready for the lawless one, as he is called in the Bible, the man who refuses to submit to any law. And that world leader could be alive today. You need to study prophecy. Revelation chapter 13, Daniel chapter 7. By the way, on Wednesday night, we'll be studying Daniel 7. You'll learn a lot about the end times and the rise of the Antichrist. But there is happening today a preparation of society and of the world to get the world ready for the rise of the lawless one. We live in an antinomian society by and large. In 2 Peter, in our text today, you remember Peter said regarding these false teachers that there's coming a day when they will be judged. Those who deny the Lord that bought them will bring upon themselves swift destruction. And you remember last week we saw that Peter gives three examples of God's judgment of beings or people in the past, to show us that he's going to be consistent in judging in the future. Do you remember he said there in verse 4 that God did not spare the angels that sinned, but cast them out of heaven. And they are right now reserved in a realm of darkness awaiting the judgment of God. We saw also the antediluvian world of Noah's day. A world that was so evil that every imagination of the thought of their heart was only evil continually. And God said, I'm going to judge the earth and destroy it with a flood. And so he's told Noah to prepare an ark for the saving of his household, as well as the animal realm. And so his wife, his three sons, and their wives went into that ark. God shut the door, and then God did something that had never happened before. He broke up the waters which were trapped under the earth's surface. He caused rain to fall from the sky as the canopy was broken up, and floods of water came upon this earth. And eventually resulted in the water cycle as we have today. But the world of Noah's day was flooded by a universal deluge that he talks about in verse 5. And then he talked about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 6, how God turned them into ashes and condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those who would live ungodly, but he delivered righteous Lot. God destroyed the twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by fire. And so Peter's three examples, given in chronological order, establish the fact that neither rank, nor strength, nor numbers can shield us from God's judgment. The point is, the wicked will not go unpunished. And as we continue today in verse 10, he says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. He said that there are people that God is going to reserve unto the day of judgment to be punished, especially those that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. Now here it is, and despise government or authority. As I studied verses 10 through 12, I saw a theme. The theme of these couple of verses is people's defiance of authority. People's speaking evil of authority. This is a situation that is rapidly flooding the earth today, is this whole idea of denying authority, disrespecting authority, ignoring authority, whether it's the authority of one's parents, whether it's the authority of the school teacher, whether it's the authority of civil government, whether it's authority of the pastor, whether it's authority of the church, whether it's authority ultimately of God. There is something spreading rapidly today, and that is a willful rejection of authority. And that's what Peter's describing. He's saying that these people will especially face God's judgment, those who despise authority. I'd like to talk to you today about this. We live in a day where humanism has become the religion of the day, where man is the measure of all things, which is a satanic philosophy, by the way. It is a satanic philosophy to do what you want to do. Jesus told us that. When Peter said, far be it from you, Lord, that you should die, Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. For you do not savor the things which be of God, but listen, but the things which be of men. That is satanic theology. Satanic thinking. That we would savor the things which be of men. Humanism. The exaltation of man. That's the religion of the day. You see, the world says, assert yourself. God says, submit yourself. The world says, do what you want. God says, do what I want. The world says, follow your heart. God says, obey my will. You see, God commands submission to authority. And our ultimate authority is God. And if we refuse to acknowledge God in our life, and we refuse to submit to His authority, listen to what the domino effect will be. The effects of rejecting God's authority will be a rejection of all authority. Because if there is no God and I don't have to submit to His authority, then who's to say I need to submit to my parents? Who's to say I need to submit to my school teacher? Who's to say I need to honor the civil authority? You understand? Everything in society crumbles when there's a rejection of God's authority in my life. But we are to submit to God. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We are to submit to government, according to 1 Peter 2:13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or to those who are sent by the king. We are commanded to submit, for example, and I'm not preaching this just because I'm a pastor, but God says that people in a church ought to be willing to submit to pastoral authority. In Hebrews 13:17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. We are commanded to submit to God, to government, to pastoral leadership. A wife is commanded to submit to her husband's leadership. Wow, is that a foreign concept in today's society? The Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Colossians 3:18. The Bible teaches that children are to submit to parental authority. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. God says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then God commands that we submit to each other. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. But the spirit of our day displays the attitude, nobody is going to lord it over me. No one is going to tell me what to do. I will submit to no one. And rebellion and anti-law and insubordination are signs that we are living in the very last days of this age. And listen, my friends, it is being pumped into our children via the cartoons they watch on TV. Just the cartoons. If any thinking people were to watch the cartoons that children are watching today, they are being programmed for rebellion, programmed to reject their parents' authority. As a matter of fact, if you want to see how American family culture has rapidly changed over the last 50 years, simply compare the family of Leave It to Beaver back in the 50s and 60s with the style of family life on your modern sitcom. You see, there exists a systematic dismantling of all authority structures in society. And on TV, for example, you will see that authorities are made fun of, like on The Simpsons or those stupid cartoons, which are really geared toward adults, but really it's the children watching them. Or authorities are being ridiculed. Authorities on those TV programs are being distrusted. The norm on TV, listen, is not the stable family. Little House on the Prairie is a thing of the past. The typical family is not pictured as a husband lovingly leading his wife and children, or a wife respecting her husband, or children honoring their parents. But the average depiction of the family shows us a dysfunctional husband, a wife cheating on her husband, kids sneaking and conniving to get their own way. Most shows involve parents and children as parents being depicted as inept. They just don't understand like the children understand. And in these films, the children just follow his or her own heart, and in the end, it always turns out right for the child. And the parents come around to see that the child was right all along. And every role is twisted in today's movies. There's an agenda. Get your head out of the sand, my friend. Face reality. There is an agenda. And that is to dismantle all structure of authority to produce a rebellious society so as to destroy the family and to destroy society. There is a satanic agenda. Just people don't see it. God is a God of order. Just as the universe and the human body and every detail in creation has a proper order and structure, so do all relationships have order. As a matter of fact, there's order in the Trinity, order in the triune Godhead, where the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:3, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Even in the Trinity, God the Father has a position in the mysterious oneness of the Trinity. He has a position of headship over the Son. And God has built within creation an order. But today there's a rejection of that order. And by the way, this whole idea of submitting to authority has nothing to do with superiority of essence. Just as Jesus Christ is co-equal, co-eternal with God the Father, and yet he submitted himself to the Father, it didn't mean he was inferior. So it is in the home with the wife submitting to her husband. It doesn't mean she's inferior to the husband. It's a role difference. It's a matter of function, a functionary difference, where the husband is supposed to lovingly lead his family. God created the animal realm and the human realm with order. Even in the angelic realm, there is order and rank. But you know, the most beautiful and the most magnificent of all angels, Lucifer, was dissatisfied with his place under God, and he fell by pride. In his five I wills in Isaiah chapter 14, Lucifer thought within his heart, "I will exalt myself in regards to God's heaven. I will exalt myself in regards to the angelic realm, God's congregation, God's Shekinah clouds, God's glory. I will exalt myself." And you know what Jesus said? "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Luke 10 verse 18. And God warns the pastor that he must not be a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. The same condemnation that took Lucifer down, if we're not careful, will take us down, and that's pride. God has established institutions to provide structure and safety to society, such as the home, the government, and the church. But today, we have a systematic dismantling of those structures. You know, when I use the word authority, that's a word that rebels hate. I mean, if you want to see what's happening, just go into your average public school or talk to Scott Barry or some of our other teachers. And they will tell you things that, you know, back in our day when we were in school, some of us in the 50s or whatever, that we didn't experience things like that. That's what's going on today. Society has programmed the generation that we live into to distrust and disrespect authority. And in some cases, it's justified in their minds because of the misuse and abuse of power, which has happened due to fallen man's sinful nature. There are authorities, let's be honest, that abuse their power, that take advantage of those they are supposed to care for and lead. But that doesn't mean we throw it out just because of the abuse of some. But also society has programmed the generation that we live into in today to misunderstand God's ways. And so the Bible says in verse 10 that these people despise government or lordship. They despise authority. The word despise in our text means to think down upon. It means to have a low view of someone. To have a habitual attitude of thinking down or thinking against them with the result that they're ignored. What we have here is a despising of the power and authority of God. And this epistle of 2 Peter is an end time epistle. It's instruction of how to live in the last days in light of the persecution and trouble that is coming. But I'll tell you, one mark of the last days is disrespect for authority. Where God said children will be disobedient to parents, and there will be a general disregard for authority, ultimately God's authority. And so he says in verse 10, judgment's coming. The day of God's judgment is coming, but chiefly for them who walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. What are the symptoms of those who despise authority? In what way does rebellion manifest itself? When somebody ignores God's authority, what is the fallout to that? I'll tell you what it is. Number one, it is sexual immorality. We find that in verse 10, where walking after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness is connected with despising authority. It is no accident that these two concepts are conveyed side by side. Walking after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness is one of the results of rejecting God's authority. I mean, people have the idea that if there's no God, then I could just live any way I want. I can please myself at all costs. And we just see it today manifested in the area of sexuality. People figure, well, I'm not hurting anyone. I can just do whatever I want. And we live in a sexually perverted society today where pornography is just spreading across the land. Adult bookstores are just all over the place, and wickedness is so readily available on the internet and other sources that it's ruining our generation. How do people justify this? Well, here's how they justify it. If there's no God, then I can just do whatever I want with my flesh, with my body. Right? That's the thinking. If there's no God, then I'm not answerable to anyone. I could just live the way I want to live. You see, those who despise authority, they follow a certain course. A course described as after the flesh. Notice it says they walk after the flesh. You see, they do follow. They're not leaders. They follow. They follow the lead of their flesh rather than lead of the Spirit of God. They walk after the flesh. They conduct their lives with the motivation of satisfying fleshly appetites. And I think in the context, we have an example of that, of Sodom and Gomorrah, where the Bible describes their destruction in verse 6, but he delivered Lot, who was vexed with their filthy conversation or lifestyle. Verse 8 says of this chapter, "For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." He was tormented. He was both distressed and fatigued and tormented by the wickedness that he saw going around him all the time. And in that context of the destruction of these cities, these people who went after strange flesh, he describes here people walking after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. Lust of uncleanness means dirty lusts or lusts which pollute the body and soul. Most evidently, sexual sin is in view here, although certainly there are other lusts which pollute as well. But there's a connection between despising authority and sexual immorality. Where you have one, you will have the other. And America's general rejection of God and His authority has opened the floodgates for sexual perversions, which pollute a country and a people, according to Romans 1:20, where you see the connection between a willful rejection of God and people plunging into all forms of sexual immorality, including homosexuality, lesbianism, and all other forms of perversions. You see, that is the result of rejection of authority, sexual immorality. But there's a second one, and that is a daring defiance of authority. Look at verse 10, where it says, "Presumptuous are they." Presumptuous simply means to dare in the sense of not dreading or shunning something through fear. Here, the word means to have no fear of the authority, so they can just shamelessly and irreverently defy the authority while daring the authority to do something about it. That's the idea. I dare you to do something about it. You see, when we despise authority, people will live in such a way that they will do whatever they want and dare God or dare the authority to do something about it. The word presumptuous here describes the person who is brazen, headstrong, a daredevil, a reckless daring that defies God and man. And do you know anyone like that? I mean, it seems like because of the arrogance of people today, they will just do what they want and dare anyone to say anything or do anything. In verse 10, there's also another word. Notice self-willed. I believe another manifestation of people that reject God's authority or reject authority in general is self-willed. It's a word that means self-pleasing, to please self. The word denotes somebody who, dominated by self-interest, becomes inconsiderate of others and arrogantly asserts his own will. It describes somebody whose mind is made up. In other words, he's going to get what he wants no matter what anyone says, and nobody can deter him from it. Their mind is made up to have their own way, no matter what the cost, and no matter what the cost may be to others. They're just going to get what they want. This is the society we live in today. Is this spirit within you? There's another mark or manifestation of a defiance of authority. Not only sexual immorality, not only daring defiance, not only arrogant self-will, but notice verbal blasphemy. Look at the end of verse 10. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. When I looked up that word dignities, I found it to be an interesting word. It describes glorious ones. I said, what does that mean, glorious ones? They despise glorious ones. Well, one view is that he's describing angelic beings or celestial beings. In other words, people fearlessly deny or mock supernatural entities. You see, if they deny the Lord that bought them, as he says in verse 1, if they're going to deny God, then they're going to just deny all supernatural. If I can't see it, touch it, hear it, if it doesn't appeal to my five senses, I reject it. And that's the society that we live in today, where people will reject and deny dignities. They will mock supernatural entities. Now, this text may apply to glorious dignities in the supernatural or spiritual realm, but also dignities in the natural realm, people of importance. Whereas the Bible says in verse 11 that even angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. There's not a person in this room that is as strong as an angel, as mighty and powerful as an angel. But you know what God says? That not even angels would bring a blasphemous report before God. Angelic beings, which are far superior to us in their strength and in their ability, would not even bring a slanderous judgment before the Lord. They have superior might, and they don't defame or rail on people in front of God's throne, but rather they have the idea, well, the Lord is the judge. God will, He knows what's going on. He'll make it right. You know, Jude follows Peter's words precisely when he writes this. Listen to this, Jude 1, verse 8. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Very similar words to what Peter is saying right here. Even Michael, as great as he was, would not bring a railing accusation regarding Satan, but said, the Lord rebuke you. And yet these people that defy authority, that reject authority, they will be so brazen as to not being afraid to speak evil of dignities. But there's another manifestation or characteristic of those that reject God's authority, and that's found in verse 12. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things which they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. You know what God says about those that reject authority? That they are like irrational animals. Like natural brute beasts. The word natural means mere creatures of instinct. They sin without even thinking about the consequences. It's like their life is an autopilot. It's like they're headed toward destruction. And just as an animal functions based on its instincts and can't reason the way God made people to reason, He says that these people like have it turned on autopilot and they're just headed toward destruction. They're comparable to beasts that have no rational capability. Do you know any teenagers like that? Man, I just see it all the time. You know, people that act like animals, talk like animals, respond like animals, irrational behavior, no capacity to think, operating solely on self-indulgence and unthinking passion. You see, animals are born as creatures of instinct, meaning that their responses to stimuli are pre-programmed. And it seems like there are many people today, because of a rejection of God's authority, that they are programmed for destruction. Brute beasts, irrational, unthinking, unreasoning animals. People who blaspheme realities that they can't disprove. But notice it says that these animals, which are made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not. They don't understand God, they speak evil of God. They don't understand morality, they speak evil of morality. They speak evil of things they don't comprehend. These people, in ignorance, speak evil of supernatural realities that they don't know exist. And they can't disprove that they don't exist. I would encourage you to see that film, if you haven't seen it already. A film which really shows where our country is heading today. It was out in the movie theaters. I guess it wasn't very popular, because a film like that's not going to be. But it is a film which shows that to be a thinker, to be one who believes in God and yet to hold a position in a intellectual university is something that is systematically being dismantled, where you will lose a position, you will not be able to gain a teaching position if you believe in creationism. And they are literally dumbing down our instruction institutions. They are deliberately taking out all mention of God or the supernatural. And it's called no intelligence allowed. I would encourage you to see that. You see, these ignorant animals, he says here, will be captured and destroyed by their own rottenness. Their own moral decay will devastate them. Their own sin will trap them and destroy them. They will utterly perish in their own corruption. My friend, today we can't acknowledge, we can't deny that God exists. We cannot reject the Lord. For Psalm 47:2 says, "For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth." Psalm 83:18, "That men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth." Psalm 115:3, "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." God is sovereign. God has revealed himself to us. And you know, God's way is the only way that works. Those who follow God's way, those who submit to his authority, they will be blessed. Those who reject his authority will be cursed. You know, this authority is so vital, because if we reject authority, if we despise authority, we will have no order, no structure, no chain of command. You'll have no direction. Everybody will be doing that which is right in their own eyes. You'll have no protection. Each will be out for their own survival. You have to have authority. Without it, a society that has been infected by sin will literally destroy itself. Young people, you need to submit to your authority. Whether that authority is a guardian, a foster parent, adopted parents, or step parents, you need to obey your mother and your father. You need to honor your teacher at school. You will go places in life if you learn to respect authority. But you know, the popular thing is to defy authority. It's not cool to submit to authority. It's not the in thing. But you know, I really honestly fear what is just going to happen to America, because we have people that are coming through our public school system now that have no concept of submission to authority. Can you imagine when they work a job and their boss tells them to do something a certain way and they don't do it the way they're supposed to? Well, first of all, they're going to get fired. But can you imagine what's going to happen to our service industry, our airline industry? I was just thinking this morning that if people don't do what they're supposed to do in the airline industry, we're going to see more planes going down. We're going to see more things happening today because of people just failing to follow the rules. We're going to be in big trouble, folks. May we set an example. May the young people in this room decide, I'm going to honor authority. I want to be blessed. You see, all of us who are in a position of authority are going to be held accountable to God. But so will you for how you responded to authority. And does God have the right to tell you what to do? Well, absolutely. For two reasons. Number one, he made you. Number two, he redeemed you. Because he made you, he has the right to tell you how to live. But because God redeemed us, he has the right also to tell us how to live. He bought us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We can't say, it's my life, my body, I will live it any way I want. You're not your own. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to the one who made you and the one who redeemed you. And so we need to submit to him. We are obligated to live for his glory. Now I know in the last days men will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. But we need to decide, I'm going to go against the tide. I'm going to go against the grain of this culture. And I'm going to live in a way that pleases God. I'm going to seek his pleasure, not my own. I'm going to glorify him. That's the goal of my life. You see, my life belongs to the one who bought me with his blood. And my friend, you're not going to be blessed until you come to the point where you surrender your life to God and say, God, I let you steer my life. I hand the keys over to you. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable that we would surrender to God in light of the fact that he owns us and in light of the fact that he gives us the blessed life when we do submit to his authority. The bottom line is this, it takes faith to submit to authority. Faith that God will work the results out for your good and for his glory. It will take faith for you to submit to an authority that when that authority is asking you to do something that your flesh does not want. When your parent wants you to do something that you don't want to do, or your parent forbids you to do something that you really want to do, you see, it's going to take faith in God at that time to submit to the Lord and submit to your parent rather than going headstrong and doing it your way. But in the end, you'll be blessed. God blesses those that submit to authority. He condemns those who despise authority. When we despise authority, the results are sexual immorality, a daring defiance, an arrogant self-will, verbal blasphemy, and irrational animal behavior. And we don't want that. We don't want that in our lives. We don't want that in our homes. So may the Lord help us to submit to his authority in our life. Now listen, the reason why people don't submit to God's authority is because they are idolaters. They are idolaters. You know who their God is? Themselves. Idol of the heart. They worship themselves. Therefore, that your God, if you're not submitted to God and you know who you are, you know I'm talking to you today. If you're not submitted to God, it's because your God is yourself. And you want what you want, when you want it, how you want it. And anyone who gets in the way becomes an object of attack and scorn or ridicule and defiance. But my friend, we need to get the idol of self and put it on the altar and say, God, you sit on the throne of my life. You guide my life. I give up my self-idolatry. I want you to be glorified in me and through me. That's the bottom line, folks. If we don't submit to God's authority, we won't submit to any other authority. But listen, until you die to self, until you have a funeral for your ambition, until you say, I'm going to live for him and not myself any longer, you're going to be an idolater. Covetousness is idolatry. But I believe that all of us who know the Lord, we know we need to submit to God. But perhaps I'm talking to some in here today that don't know the Lord. You've been worshiping yourself all of your life. And if you're honest, you know you're selfish. You need to repent of that selfishness and say, Lord, save my wretched soul. I believe you love me and I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again for me. Save me today. And if you will call upon the Lord, he will come to live in your life. He'll forgive you of your sin of idolatry and selfishness and pride. And then he will begin leading you and blessing you. And if you don't want him in your life, I'll tell you why. Because you are your own God. And you won't get off the throne. And you don't want anybody telling you how to live your life. That is Satanism in its purest form. May God help you today to repent and put your faith in Jesus and to put your faith in the Lord so that you'll submit to him and the authorities that he has ordained. Would you join me in a moment of prayer? Our dear Father, we are thankful for this scripture. Although we live in a day when such words are rarely heard, we thank you, Lord, for your truth, that your ways do work, and that you deserve for all of your children to submit to your authority. Forgive us, Lord, for our stubborn rebellion. Forgive us for our pride. Forgive us for our self-centeredness. And we pray that you would wash that sin away. Help us all to submit to your authority so that everything else will fall in line. And I pray for any teens that are living in rebellion in this room, that they will not go this way, that they will not be destroyed in their own corruption. But Lord, that you would cause them to come to repentance today and to subject themselves to your authority, that they might be blessed. Please, Lord, cause these words to stay in our minds and in our heart in these last days when we will see these concepts to be so foreign to our ears. Give us the grace to know the truth so that we may be set free from the lie. Before I conclude my prayer, I'm wondering if there be any in our midst today who would say, Pastor Sawyer, today God spoke to my heart. I truly do need the Lord to save me because I've been the ruler of my own life. I've been worshiping myself, but God showed me I need him in my life. I want the Lord to save my soul. I don't want to perish in my rebellion. I don't want to be condemned for my sin for all eternity. I am willing to turn my life over to God and ask Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. How many with a raised up hand would say, that's me, I need that salvation. Pray for me. God bless you. I see your hand in the back, ma'am. Anybody else with honesty would say, I need the Lord. God bless you as well. And you, ma'am, I see several hands. Anybody else who'd be honest and humble enough? God bless you. I see your hand. Several ladies today. Anybody, any men here who would say, I need the Lord to save my soul? Any who are humble and honest enough to see that need and admit it? Would you raise your hand? For those who need the Lord Jesus Christ, would you call upon him right now? In the quietness of this moment, would you say, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I admit that I have been rebellious. I have rejected you. And I have been the object of my worship. I ask you to forgive me. I pray that you would wash away my selfishness. And today I open my heart and I ask you to come and live in my life. May you rule my life, guide my life. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me and rose again, and today I'm willing to trust Him to be my personal Lord and Savior. Help me to live for You from this day onward. Please teach me more about Yourself so that I may submit to You and follow You, for You are worthy. Amen. My friend, if you called upon the Lord and you believe the gospel that He died for you and rose again, God promises everlasting life to all who trust Him. He wants to bless you. He has a great plan for your future if you do it His way. But we need to repent from doing it our way and say, Lord, I want Your will for my life. He will bless you and guide you. Let's turn to number 230.